It's Friday, February 27th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. A broad immigration enforcement bill is on its way to the governor after the Senate voted to approve House amendments. It decisively passed 37-11. Lawmakers gave a final vote to a bill that will slightly change the state's alert system for when a child goes missing. And a bill that criminalizes homelessness is now headed to the governor. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. A broad immigration enforcement bill is on its way to the governor after the Senate voted to approve House amendments. It decisively passed 37-11. The Fairness Act includes provisions that require schools, hospitals, local governments, police, and sheriff's offices to comply with federal immigration enforcement. It also requires businesses operating in the state to verify the legal status of their employees. Republican Senator Jean Lysing voted against the bill. Representing a rural district, she says the 5-day penalty shutdown for businesses found employing someone without legal status, even if done unintentionally, would critically harm the agriculture industry.
Now, all of you guys, even the ones from the city, understand you can't ignore the cows for 5 days. They're going to have to be milked. They're going to have to be fed.
Governor Mike Braun has already signaled his support for the legislation that further aligns the state with the Trump administration's immigration enforcement agenda. Lawmakers gave a final vote to a bill that will slightly change the state's alert system for when a child goes missing. WFYI's Caroline Beck reports the adjustment was inspired after the recent disappearance and death of Fisher's teen Haley Busby.
Lawmakers made changes to the bill this week, adding missing children under the state's Silver Alert system, which is more commonly used for missing adults. Previously, lawmakers had amended the state's Amber Alert system to include missing high-risk children. That alert is meant to be used when a child has been abducted. Senator Brett Clark expressed concerns that changing the Amber Alert would overwhelm law enforcement.
I think there were some unintended consequences, especially in your county, that would have overwhelmed our Amber Alerting system, increasing the workload by about 2,000 more alerts in Marion County alone last year.
If signed by the governor, the change would take effect immediately. I'm Caroline Beck at the State House.
A bill that criminalizes homelessness is now headed to the governor. The legislation would make it a Class C misdemeanor for knowingly camping or sleeping in public areas. Bill sponsors have argued the bill is a compassionate effort to get people off the streets, while opponents say it will be an added barrier for those experiencing homelessness. A bill to tighten eligibility for the state's Medicaid and Supplemental Nutrition Assistance programs is finally heading to the governor. As WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports, Republicans made the bill a priority and say it will root out waste and fraud in Indiana's welfare systems.
Republicans say the bill brings Indiana in line with new federal welfare work requirements and eligibility checks, while also inserting checks on immigration status. Democrat Shelley Yoder says the measure is more punitive than federal changes and will kick eligible Hoosiers from programs.
We can align with federal law without trying to outflank it at the expense of our own people.
Bill author Chris Garten says making the program strict will protect those who need it the most.
We brought this bill to make sure that every single dollar goes to a Hoosier who is poor and or disabled.
The bill now heads to the governor. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
Cell phones in the classroom have been a problem for years. Teachers have said not only are they distracting students, but they can also facilitate bullying. WFYI's Caroline Beck reports that lawmakers passed legislation to address the problem, at least during the school day.
The bill would instill a bell-to-bell ban on cell phones and other wireless communication devices in schools, including smartwatches. Schools will now be required to either bar students from bringing their personal devices to campus or create a plan to securely store them during the school day. Some exceptions are given to students with certain health needs. Representative Jake Teschke says this ban will help improve students' overall well-being.
If we're serious about literacy, academic rigor, and student well-being, then we have to address the largest source of distraction in modern-day schools.
Democrats mostly support the ban, but they worry that this will create an unfunded cost for schools. The ban will take effect next school year. I'm Caroline Beck at the State House.
Believe in a Dream has been inspiring young adults to dream big, believe in themselves, and not be afraid to take risks since its launch in 2010. Here, WBOY's Julia Meek discusses the evolution of the program with Executive Director Megan McClellan and how these creative connections impact the future generation.
Megan McClellan, welcome.
Hi, Julia. Thank you for having me on.
Now, you have come a long way there at Believe in a Dream since it all began in 2010. Very briefly, what is its core mission?
The core mission of Believe in a Dream is to provide middle and high school students with immersive experiences in entrepreneurship, leadership, and the arts.
So, a word on each of those individual areas.
In the entrepreneurship program, we have options for students who have a business idea to build upon that and actually create their own business. We do sort of a tech entrepreneurship where they're learning about things like Mars rovers and facial recognition and all kinds of cool stuff. Our leadership program really teaches students about their personal brand, and they learn their Clifton strengths and really how to be good leaders. And they have the opportunity, once they've gone through the program, to come back and help lead the younger students. And the arts is mainly musical arts, where we have opportunities for students to both perform in the community as well as perform on a big stage with lots of other students. We want to give lots of opportunities. So the programs are open to everyone and free of charge.
Where does all the action take place?
String Jams meets weekly on Monday nights. They actually meet at Memorial Park Middle School because our program director is from Memorial Park. The technology programs take place at Indiana Tech. It gives the students an opportunity to experience a college campus. Similarly, our leadership classes are at Purdue Fort Wayne. The program directors are amazing. And part of what I enjoy about this job is just being able to support them in doing the amazing work that they do.
So what kind of action have you managed to build to get this done? And that is especially including the funding for all of these wonderful immersive experiences.
One of the great things about this nonprofit is that there is a wide variety of funding sources. We get grants, we get donations from individuals, and we get a lot of sponsorships of sometimes of our specific events like the orchestra concert and also our general overall. So we have a gala coming up on March 26th, and that's one of our biggest fundraisers of the year. It's a real special gala, not just your general people talking and eating bad chicken. It's actually a really fun time. It'll be at the Muro Center, and our students are intimately involved in the whole process.
In fact, it's all about them.
It is, absolutely. They are the mission. They are the reason we are doing this. And they enjoy it too, getting a chance to get dressed up and play adult. Yeah, our leadership students will be helping with the organization. Our music students get to perform and also help with some of the DJ stuff. We're going to have a student who will be assisting the MC. Our tech students, I think, are going to have a Mars rover there. So you got to come check that out. But yeah, there'll be tables where you can talk to the students. Students will be sitting at the tables during dinner for additional conversation, and they'll be just an intimate part of the whole night.
A wonderful part, and it is their night, and it is all about believing in a dream.
Yes.
What is the response that you are seeing from the kids to all of this and all of the inclusion that they're experiencing?
They love it. They are there and they are bringing friends and they are coming back year after year when possible. And a big part of that is our program directors and how wonderful they are and how good they are at making the students feel good. Everyone has a really good time doing it. And because of that, it's really not hard to motivate them at all. And it's my passion to reach all those students.
Megan McClellan is Executive Director of Believe in a Dream. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Megan. Continued success.
Thank you, Julia. It's been a pleasure being on.
Find the extended version of this conversation at WBOY.org. More news in a moment.
My name is Cassie Beer, Director of the Women's Fund at the Community Foundation of Greater Fort Wayne. At the Women's Fund, we focus on research, education, and advocacy, and WBOI helps us share those findings with our community. Public radio is vital for telling the stories that often go unheard, especially those of women and girls facing challenges like domestic violence and unequal pay. Join me and countless others in protecting public radio. at wboi.org/save.
Here's what to know for today. On Monday, CityLink's bus service to Southeast Fort Wayne will change. A dozen lawmakers are sounding the alarm over utility costs. And the Department of Homeland Security is buying warehouses to expand detention capacity, including one in Indianapolis. That's who and what for Friday, February 27th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter, Frequency, at wboi.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbruck. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great weekend.